Good morning, everyone. We bid you warmly welcome to the Lord's house on this Sabbath morning. We're very glad of your fellowship and your presence with us. Just to read to you one verse from the New Testament scriptures, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Think of those words, especially the power of Christ may rest upon me. It's in keeping with our theme in our Bible study this morning. The 46th Psalm, we're going to sing some of the verses of this Psalm as we commence the service. God is our refuge and our strength. Just underline those words, our refuge and our strength in straits of present aid. Therefore, although the earth remove, we will not be afraid. We're singing the first five verses, and then we're going down to the end to sing the final two. So seven verses in all, the first five and then verses 10 and 11. And we'll rise as we sing, please. Let's just bow together in prayer. We'll settle our hearts just as we approach the throne of grace. Father, we're want to pray that you'll pour out your Spirit upon us mightily today. Your word says that we're to worship thee in spirit and in truth. So, Father, at the very commencement of the meeting, we want to cry unto thee from our hearts, cry unto thee unitedly, that the Spirit of God will come down upon the meeting. We pray that the Holy Ghost will come and fill each believer here in this service. We want to ask, Father, that we know the guidance of thy Spirit today. We pray that he'll come and lead us. You have promised us in your word that the Spirit will lead us into all truth. And Lord, we ask just for the enabling, the enlightening of the Holy Ghost, especially, Father, when we read and study and meditate upon thy word. We ask that the one who is the author of the book might come and open it to us. We would cry in the words of the hymn writer, Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. We ask thee, Father, to guide us now, especially in our prayers. We feel our need. We're very conscious, Father, of our weakness. We're never more conscious of our weakness than when we approach thee at the throne of grace. And we do remember that Jude spoke of those that prayed in the Holy Ghost. And Lord, that would be our desire. We want to know the power of God, the power of thy Spirit resting upon us. We want the Spirit to come to enable us to persist. We confess, Father, and acknowledge how often and how easily we faint at the throne of heavenly grace. So we pray, Father, that you'll enable us to continue to hold on until the answer that we gain. We ask that the Spirit may come too and remind us and prompt us. We confess, Father, how often when we do pray, we forget the petitions that we should bring, the requests that we should make, the people that we should lift up before thee at the throne of grace. So we pray, Father, that the Spirit would come even and prompt our hearts and our minds this very day. Lord, we want to lift our hearts to thee in praise and in worship. We've come, Father, to thy house, and we pray that your presence will be felt. But we've come, Father, to acknowledge your goodness. The Scriptures tell us that the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And Father, we can testify that our lives also are full of your goodness, as the psalmist said, your goodness and your mercy follow us all the days of our life. There's never been one day, Father, we've lived upon this earth that we've not known your goodness and your mercy to us. We do praise thee for the past week. Thank you, Father, for guiding us. Thank you for keeping us. We thank you, Father, for providing for us all that we have needed. You've supplied our every need. We would not want to be forgetful or unmindful of that, Father. Since we're bowed in prayer, we praise thee for giving to us every day our daily bread. Thank you for providing for our loved ones. And we praise thee, Father, for providing for the work of God here in Armagh, even as we draw close to another year. Lord, we want to praise thee and acknowledge the greatness of your faithfulness to us, even in the very challenging and difficult days in which we're found. We want to, Father, thank thee for maintaining the cause, preserving the testimony, the witness of the gospel in this place. We remember, Father, that it's your work. You love the church and you gave yourself for it. We remember, Father, that it's your doing, and we want to say that it's marvellous in our eyes. And even, Father, as we think of the weeks, the months that lie ahead, we want to ask that your hand will continue upon this work and upon this testimony. Lord, we want to pray the Spirit of God will come down upon us. We're pleading for a move of God. We're asking, Father, that in this city and across this land, that we would see times of refreshing, even from the Spirit of the Lord. We want to ask, Father, that this city will know the blessing of God upon it. We pray that it will be blessed through the preaching of the gospel, in the power and demonstration of the Spirit of the living God. We pray, Father, that you'll bless in this city by saving souls, by turning many from darkness to light. We want to ask, Father, that you'll bless in this city so that there will be the fear of God all across the city and the community. We want to pray that you'll bless as well, Father, that you'll give to the men and women of this city, a concern for their soul and a concern for the spiritual well-being of their families and their children, that they'll bring them to the house of God to be taught words whereby they might be saved. We pray, Father, that you'll bless in this city of Armagh, that it will be a city that is known for its love for the word of God and for the preaching of thy word. Remember what we read of the Bereans, that they search the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. And Lord, we would ask that there will be such a turning to God in this city of Armagh that this city and the people, the inhabitants of it, will be known as men and women of the book. So Father, hear our cries. We ask thee to help us today. Remember the psalmist said, our help cometh from the Lord that made heaven and earth. We ask thee to help us through the meeting this morning. Help us in the ministry of your word. Help us, Father, right through this day and even right through this week. And we pray that in all that we do and in all that we say, that our lives will ever bring glory to thy great name. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're turning in the scriptures, please. Our Bible reading this morning is in Philippians chapter 4. The fourth chapter of the book of Philippians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, the fourth chapter. We're going to begin to read verse 10. And we'll read just down to the end of the chapter, which is also the end of the book. Philippians 4, verse 10. Let's hear the Lord's word to our hearts today. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere, and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And we know the Lord will add his own blessing this morning to this, the public reading of his word. We take the opportunity to welcome each one to the Lord's house, to our Sabbath morning service. We're very thankful for your presence with us. We welcome the children, the young people to the house of the Lord, especially any visitors that are joining with us today. We're very thankful to each one for your faithfulness of this witness of the gospel. We're very thankful for your support and for your prayers. Can I take the opportunity just to extend thanks to everyone that helped in so many ways, in various ways, with the ministry here, the meetings, the activities, over the last couple of weeks or so while I was off on holiday. We want you to know that all that you did was very much appreciated indeed. Remember, please, the service tonight, 6 o'clock, the prayer meeting downstairs in the church hall. We want to invite you to join us for that season of prayer. 6:30 is the gospel service. The theme in the gospel tonight is tomorrow for you can be eternity. Remember, there's going to be the special dedication also this evening of little Annie Grace Quinn. That will be conducted during the service, and there'll be members of the Gibson and the Quinn families that will be joining with us. So we invite you to come along this evening as well and bring along others. Remember the gospel message that will go forth. Bring those with you that you would be concerned and would like to hear the word of the Lord as it's preached. The meetings for the incoming week in the will of the Lord. Monday night at 7:30, the meeting of the Kirk session here in the church. Tuesday at 6:45, the children's bright hours, both here in the church and also down in Killalea. Wednesday in the afternoon at 3:00, remember the radio broadcast on Radio Star Country. And then 8 o'clock here in the evening is the midweek service. It'll be a missionary deputation. Miss Joanne Greer will be with us to report on her work in Liberia. Keep in mind also there'll be a missionary offering taken at the conclusion of the service on Wednesday night. So we encourage you to come along to hear that special missionary report. Friday night at 8:00 is the Youth Fellowship. I'll be the speaker myself at the meeting this coming Friday evening. Next Lord's Day, the 12th of December, the Sunday School and Bible classes in the morning at 10:40. The service is 11:30 and 6:30. God willing, the evening service will be the carols and scripture reading service leading up to Christmas with some of our young people taking part, and God willing, I'll be preaching at both of those services myself. Monday night week, that's the 13th, is the next meeting of the church committee, just to remind the brethren of that. Remember, please, in your prayers, Mrs. Iris Hill, our sister, got home from hospital on Thursday following her surgery. So continue to pray for our sister's recovery. Remember Mrs. Peggy Mitchell, too, recovering from her injuries. And also remember to pray for Mrs. Mary Gillespie just at this time. Remember the various pieces of literature, the New Daily Reading Book, based on messages by Dr. Alan Kearns. If you're thinking of Christmas time coming up, keep those in mind, the cost of £15 each. Remember, too, the little paper pulpit booklets, the volume 3, all the proceeds of it going to the mission board, and those cost £3 each. If you're thinking of Christmas and gifts that you'll give out, might be nice to include one of those in a loved one or a friend that you're concerned about that you'd like to bring the gospel message to. The Cookstown Church is hosting a special praise service. That's this coming Thursday night at 7:30. Our brother, Mr. Sam Houston from the Hillsborough Church, recently released a new CD and a DVD. So they're having a special service down there to help promote that new release. And all the proceeds from the sale of the CD and DVD is going to the Lord's work. Also taking part in that special praise service is the Reverend Marcus and Mrs. Cherith Leckie, and also our sister, Mrs. Amanda Reid. Remember the literature at the doors, the latest Vision magazine, the latest Watching and Waiting, the LTBS Quarterly, the LTBS Calendars, those are £3 50 each. Also the new Missionary Council prayer calendar for 2022 is available. Remember that it gives prayer points on the back for every day of the month to help guide you in those important petitions to lift up before the Lord for the missionary work of the church. Remember to take your copy or even copies of that as you go from the service today. The Way of Life calendar that was made available a few weeks ago as well for 2022, those are free of charge. And just to emphasise, finally, the free will offering envelopes for 2022 are available in the porch of the church. So please take yours as you leave the meetings. If you would like to sign up for the free will offering scheme, if you don't already subscribe to the church weekly, regularly, through the envelope scheme, speak to our brother, Mr. Billy Hill, and he'll be able to help you with that, give you the relevant details. So I think those are all the matters we need to mention by way of announcement to you this morning. 625, Joseph Scriven's lovely hymn about prayer that always encourages our hearts. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. So 625, and again we'll stand as we sing, please. Of the opening words of that third verse, are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Those were the words, especially the hymn we had in mind as we were thinking of our message and our Bible study this morning. So let's just seek the Lord together. Pray the Lord will speak to you today. Pray the Lord will still and settle our hearts. We'll know His presence in a very powerful way as He comes to open the Word to us. Father, we do want to give Thee praise that we're here today. Thank You for the doors of Thy house open, the witness been made for Christ and His gospel here today in this city. We do thank You for our Sunday school and Bible classes. Thank You for the teachers and our superintendent, all the pupils, the young people. Lord, we ask Thee to bless them. We pray that Thou would be pleased to add and give the increase. But we want to pray, Father, most of all, that all of these children and young people would be won for Christ. We want to ask Thee, Father, to save their souls. We want in prayer to commit, Father, this day, this week, all that we do in the cause of Christ here in this city and the week that lies ahead. We pray that you will be with us. We pray that we'll know the presence of Christ, but we want to pray, Father, that especially we'll know the power of Christ resting upon our lives and upon our testimony. We do remember, Father, all of our congregation. Bless every family here. Encourage every heart at this time. We pray, Father, that every family will know the Lord to be with them, enabling them. We pray, Father, that you'll fulfill for us that word. Our help comes from the Lord that made heaven and earth. Remember the senior members of our congregation. We thank you for their dedication. Thank you for their love for thy house. We thank you for their faithful support over so many years. And yet so many, Father, not able to be here with us. Their heart is with us. They would long to be amongst us. But we want to be mindful, Father, of them, each one. In our prayers today, we ask that you'll strengthen them and you'll bless them. Draw near, minister to them, Father, from your word. Give them just that message that they need for their circumstances, even at this time. Mindful, Father, of those that are ill at this time. Remember Sister Mrs. Hill, put your hand upon her. May she know a healing touch very clearly and definitely from the Lord. I ask you to remember Mrs. Mitchell too. We pray, Father, the injuries that she sustained in recent days, that the hand of God will be upon her. Remember Mrs. Gillespie, and Lord, remember all just that need the touch of God in these days. And Lord, we want to give thee thanks for health and strength that has brought us to thy house today. We want to be mindful of that, Father, and we commit ourselves to thee for the week and for the weeks and the days that lie ahead. Answer our cries, and Lord, bless us now, and do give to us even that experience the two had that went to Emmaus. Lord, may our hearts today burn within us while you talk with us by the way. We offer these our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in Philippians chapter 4. Our text is the 13th verse. Philippians 4:13. It says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The theme of the message today is strength for the weary. George Whitefield, the great evangelist, very near the end of his life, he prayed this prayer. I'm weary in thy work, but not of thy work. Whitefield had labored. He had labored zealously for the Lord. He had literally burned himself out. In fact, some would say he preached himself out in the service of Christ. And he felt weary. He felt weak and tired. And perhaps, brethren and sisters, that's how you feel today. You're weary. Weary in life. Weary in the work. Even weary in the work of the Lord. Whenever you consider all the demands upon you, all the demands upon your time and upon your energy, when you consider the busyness of life, there's so much to do, so much to fit in. When you consider today the trials that you're passing through, maybe the trials that you personally or your family as a whole are passing through, when you consider the sickness that you've experienced, maybe still not fully recovered from that sickness, or maybe you're nursing a family member who has been unwell, and how demanding, how tiring that can be. When you consider today the circumstances all across the land and even all across the earth, with all the challenges, all the problems that the pandemic has brought, and still no sign of the crisis ending. Whenever you think of all of these situations and many more besides, and you've exerted so much strength, so much energy, you've coped with so much, maybe in a very short space of time, but now you find yourself tired and weary, and you're faint, and you're asking yourself, how can I continue? How can I keep going? How will I manage? How will I cope with this situation and with all of these circumstances? Well, here, brethren and sisters, is a promise of God's word to encourage your heart. Here's a promise of strength for the weary. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I pray the Lord will make this text a blessing, a word in season to your heart today. Let us consider just for a little while the strength that the Lord promises to you here in this verse of Scripture. You'll notice, first of all, the Christian who receives strength. Notice the very first word of the verse. Paul says, I can do all things. Now, let me stress to you, Paul wasn't what we would describe as an I man. He wasn't one of those men who was always talking about himself. But what he wants to do here is for you to learn from him, learn from his life, learn from his circumstances, and learn from his example. And let me remind you, as you think of Paul, that he was just a frail vessel. Don't be mistaken about his physical frame or about his natural ability. We're told in the book of Corinthians that his bodily presence was weak and his speech was contemptible. We're also told in 2 Corinthians that he had a thorn in his flesh. In other words, he was a man that was unwell with an illness that affected his eyesight. So the reality is that Paul was a man who was weak. He was unwell. He was a man that lived with constant pain, constant disability. And the clear lesson, brethren and sisters, for us this morning is that Paul is teaching us here in this text, there's strength for every Christian to do the will of God. If such a man as Paul, with all his weaknesses and infirmities, if he could get strength to preach, if he could get strength to travel and to work for God, then so can you, whoever you are. So brethren and sisters, don't be giving reasons, don't be making excuses for doing little or nothing for Christ. Don't say, I'm too feeble, I'm too poor, I'm too sick, I'm too weak, I'm too old, I'm too insignificant. If God gave Paul, a frail, insignificant little man, if God gave Paul the strength needed to do his will, to take the gospel all across the Roman Empire of his day, then he can also give you the strength that you need to live for him and to do his will, whatever that might be in your life. So the Christian who received strength. Notice in the second place the certainty of the strength. He says, I can do all things through Christ. Mark the word there, can. He didn't say I might. He didn't say I'll try. He didn't say I'll do my best. It wasn't I hope to get the strength, or I hope to get through. I hope to be able to finish the job. With Paul there was no doubt. There was no defeat. There was no retreat. Paul didn't live and labour in the attitude of defeat. He was a man that lived in victory. He says, I can do all things through Christ. Paul is showing us that this strength of which he is speaking in our text today is something that's sure, brethren and sisters. It's something that is absolutely certain for the child of God. Now let me make it clear. This wasn't arrogance. It wasn't presumption. Paul wasn't big-headed. He wasn't full of himself. And there's plenty of those sort of people around. But Paul wasn't being puffed up. Paul wasn't displaying self-confidence or self-reliance. He wasn't depending on his strength. He wasn't depending on his power, his fitness, his ability, his talents, or his stamina. Paul was sure of this strength, and he was so sure of this reason, for this reason, brethren and sisters, because he knew God. And that's what made the difference. That's what gave him the confidence that he had when he stated these words. Remember that Daniel teaches, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And if there's one thing, brethren and sisters, needed above all else, especially in these days of crisis in which we're found, it's a people that do know their God. And Daniel says that those people shall be strong and do exploits. So knowing God, brethren and sisters, knowing God closely, knowing God intimately, how vital that is. That was true of Paul. He was a man that knew God. He was a man that walked with God. And because of that, he knew what God could do. What God could do in his life. What God could do through his labours. He knew that God's provision, God's power for him was something that was inexhaustible. That's the reason why he was so confident. That's the reason why he was so certain that God would give him the strength that he needed. So brethren and sisters, can I say to you today, don't doubt God. Don't doubt his ability. Don't doubt his promise today to give the strength that you need today. That is something that is absolutely sure. So the certainty of the strength. Notice in the third place, the circumstances in which you receive strength. Paul goes on in our text, I can do all things. Now just ponder those words for a moment. All things. What a statement. What an encouragement that is to all of our hearts today. He didn't say I can do some things. He didn't say I can do most things. He didn't say I can do the easiest things. He declared I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Can I point out to you that those words, all things, they're great study in the Bible. You think of John's words, all things were made by him. Think of Paul's words to the Romans, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Think of Paul's words to the Ephesians. He was talking about the Lord and he said, who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Those are just a few well-known examples. But it's a great study. I commend it to you. And here he says, I can do all things through Christ. So the message of the text is this, brethren and sisters. There's strength for every situation. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't even matter how hard it is. There's strength from the Lord for every situation in life. So what a blessing. What an amazing blessing that is. So whatever you're facing today, whatever you're passing through, either on your own or as a family, I want you to see from this text that God will give you the strength that is needed. He'll give you the strength that is needed to face it. He'll give you the strength that is needed to bear it, all the burdens that go with it, all the cares. He'll give you the strength that is needed to cope with that situation. And he'll give you the strength as well to get through it, right to the very end. I want you to see, brethren and sisters, there's no situation, none, that's too trying, too perplexing. No situation that's too disturbing, too exacting, too wearying for the faithful child of God to deal with. Because by God's power, by God's help, you will be able to triumph in them all. I want you to be encouraged this morning, brethren and sisters, to see there's strength for every trial. Can I remind you that Christian is not exempt from trials. Peter talked about the fiery trial, which is to try you. The Christian's not exempt from trials in this world. And the trials of the Christian life sometimes are extreme. Sometimes they're long in their duration. Sometimes they're many. Sometimes those trials come often, they come repeatedly. You just think of this question for a moment. Do you know where Paul was when he actually wrote these words? Philippians 4:13. Paul was in the prison cell in Rome. You imagine what a trial that was. What a test. But this is what he's saying to us this morning, brethren and sisters. This is his message from the prison cell. I can face the prison sentence. And I can face the prison cell, however hard that may be, through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So there's strength for every trial. There's strength for every temptation. Whenever you're tempted to disobey the Lord and His will, whenever you're tempted to go astray into sin, I want you to see there's strength from God to overcome, to be an overcomer. There's strength not to yield and not to fall into that temptation and into that sin. So there's strength for every trial. There's strength for every temptation. There's strength for every task. Whatever work, whatever job, whatever task the Lord has for you, whatever task the Lord has called you to do, whatever His will, whatever His purpose for your life may be, I want you to understand today, He'll give you the strength to do it. He'll give you the strength to carry it out. So brethren and sisters, here is the extent. Here's the scope of this strength that the Lord promises to us. All things. There's strength for every day. There's strength for every situation of your life. So here is a promise that means that you're ready for anything as a child of God, regardless of what that might be. I want you to notice very importantly in the fourth place, the cause of the strength. The text says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So I want you to learn here, brethren and sisters, the lesson is, you need to get your eyes on the Lord. You need to look to Him, especially when you're weary and especially when you're faint. Here's the great cause, the great source, the great origin of the Christian's strength. And it's not in your own physical strength or your own physical power. It's not in your natural vigor of body and mind, regardless of what age you are, regardless of your fitness, regardless of your health. You see, the strength that you need today, brethren and sisters, it comes from Christ and from Him alone. That's the reason why, as a child of God, you need to keep close to Him every day you live here upon this earth. Can I point out to you something very important about the epistle to the Philippians? The name Christ is used 38 times in this letter. And remember, as you think of that, there's just four chapters. So that's almost 10 times for every chapter that Christ's name appears. What that means is there's much for us to learn here about Christ in this very short letter. You see, what Paul is doing is, by recording the name Christ so often, he's constantly exalting Christ. He's constantly pointing the people of God to Christ. You ask, why? Well, simply for this reason. Christ is the answer. Christ, men and women, is the answer to every situation in life that you'll ever have to face, including the weariness of body and of soul and of mind. You think of Paul's great declaration, chapter 1, verse 21. To me, to live is Christ. Here's a man that wanted to live every day, every situation for a Savior. But here, Philippians 4:13, he goes further because he says that not only does he live for Christ, but he lives by Christ and through Christ. He lives by His power and by His might. You think as well of what he said in chapter 3, verse 10. He cried out that I might know Him. That is, that I might know Christ and the power of His resurrection. He wanted to know the Savior better. That should be the great desire of every one of us. But he especially wanted to know more of Christ's power in his life. The power of His resurrection. Resurrection power, brethren and sisters. What a mighty power that is. But remember, that's what's available to the believer. That's what's available to you. You just think of the name that Paul uses here. He says, I can do all things through Christ. Now remember, he uses the name deliberately. It's not just a case of variation in his writing. Remember, he's inspired here by the Spirit. The name Spirit is the same as the name Messiah, and it means the anointed one. It's not very relevant when we think of the need of strength. And you just think of the fullness of his anointing by the Spirit. John gives us some indication of the fullness of that anointing, for he says, "He giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." You see, brethren and sisters, the Lord Jesus was anointed fully. He was anointed completely, as no other person ever was. And you know what that means, brethren and sisters? It means that there's no limit to, there's no exhausting of the power of Christ. As you come to him every day and in every situation to draw upon that power as you require it, there will be no exhausting of that power from him. So what an encouragement that is to our hearts today. You might ask the question, and it's a vital question in this study, well, how do I receive this power, this strength from the anointed one, from the anointed Christ? Well, think of prayer. You need to pray. You need to get alone with God. You need to ask and plead with God for this power. Do you remember our motto text for this year? It is time to seek the Lord. And it's time, brethren and sisters, to seek the Lord for his strength, for his infilling in our lives. Remember the rebuke of James? You have not, because you ask not. You need to ask for this power. You need to get down to prayer. Think as well of the promise. You need to trust this promise in Philippians 4:13. You need to put your faith completely in it. You must plead the promise. Ask for it to be fulfilled in your life. Can I remind you, this is not the only promise of power. It's not the only promise of strength in the Bible. Can I encourage you, can urge you to search the Scriptures, to look for those promises. And as you find them, trust completely in them as well. You think of Isaiah's words. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. So how do we get this power? Well, you need to get down to prayer. You need to trust the promise. As well as that, you need patience. You need to wait. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord at the throne of grace. It's vital, brethren and sisters, to learn the truth that Isaiah taught, that it's they that wait upon the Lord that renew their strength. Can I impress that verse of God's word upon your heart today? If you're tired, if you're weary, you're asking, how do I get the strength that I need for this day, for this hour, for this situation? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It's essential, brethren and sisters, to make time for prayer, both privately, your own devotions, and publicly in the prayer meetings of the church. So that's just a little of the cause of the strength. There's one final truth in the text. That's the continuity of the strength. Look again at our verse, especially at the end. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He doesn't say that he has strengthened me. And he doesn't say he will strengthen me. And both of those things are true. The idea of the words here is that he is strengthening me. This is a provision, this is a blessing that is ongoing. I'd like you to see, brethren and sisters, the Lord Jesus keeps on strengthening his people. So what that means is the supply of his strength for you is something that will never fail. You don't have to worry that one day it will run out. You don't have to worry that one day there will be none of this strength or this power left for you to receive. Do you remember what Paul said, Hebrews 13, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Can I remind you this morning, ponder that for a moment. He's the unchanging Christ. He's unchangeable in his person. But in addition, even more than that, brethren and sisters, everything about him is unchangeable. Learn that lesson today. His love, His grace, His mercy, His pardon, all of those things and many more are always the same. And what we've been taught here by Paul in Philippians 4:13 is that His power is unchanging. The strength that He gives, the strength that He provides for you as a Christian to live for Him every day, that's something that never diminishes. That is something that never runs out. So what that should do, brethren and sisters, is this. It should encourage you to keep coming to the Lord in prayer. Keep coming to the Lord Jesus again and again. Every day, every hour, in every time of need, on every occasion, whenever you feel weak and you feel weary. This is a strength that He continually gives to His people. So there's strength here for the weary, a promise of strength for the weary, brethren and sisters. Let me just say this in closing. Do you remember the warning the Lord Jesus gave not long before His crucifixion? He declared to His disciples, "Without Me, ye can do nothing." So can I say to you, brethren and sisters, this morning, never forget that. Every day you live and all you do, and all that you do in life, and all you do in the cause of Christ, we can't do a thing. Not one single thing without the Lord, without His help and without His blessing. But as you think of those words, that warning of the Saviour, what a contrast we have here. Here, if you like, is the other side of the coin, the other side of the truth. Because here that you learn with Him and by His help and by His power, you can do everything. Now just let that sink in. With Him, you can do everything that is the will of God for your life. And I want to emphasize that. That's important, a part of this truth. You can do everything that is His will for your life, whatever that may be. You can handle every event in life that God leads you to do, regardless of what it is, and even death itself. Remember that when you come to the end of the journey. We can do all things. We can face the valley of the shadow. We can face the last great enemy as well, through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So a promise of God. This is a chapter that has many great promises contained within it. Take time to read it again a little later. But here's the promise of strength for the weary. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I pray the Lord will bless His word. Make it a blessing to every heart today. Just a couple of verses, 441. So come to the end of the meeting. Hold thou my hand, so weak I am and helpless. I dare not take one step without thy aid. Hold thou my hand, for then, O loving Saviour, no dread of ill shall make my soul afraid. We'll sing just those first two verses, and we'll ask you to stand as we sing, please.
I dare not take one step away.
Father, we bow in your presence. Glad that we can seek thee often. Lord, give to us that desire. We want to praise thee for the meeting today, for your presence, for the help given, for the blessing of God upon the meeting. Thank you, Father, for the scriptures. We want to say to thee today, thank you for the good word of God at our hearts. We thank you for the comfort and encouragement of this promise. Lord, do impress it upon our hearts. Help us to learn it, to consider it, to hide it in our hearts, to meditate often upon it. And Lord, we pray that you'll lead us even to wait more upon thee for that strength to be renewed that we need day by day. We ask thee just to come now, Father. Reach down and put your hand upon us. Pray that each one that's assembled here in your house now this morning will know the strengthening touch of God for this day, for our labours, and whatever circumstances we find ourselves to be in. Abide with us in our homes through this day. Remember the service tonight, that special occasion, level one presented and dedicated to the Lord. Lord, may the power of God rest upon that meeting. We pray you'll bring in the lost, bring in the unsaved to the gathering. And we ask, Father, that you'll give fruit for the preaching of your precious word. So hear our cries. We ask now that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit the Comforter, will be our abiding portion, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.